prompted by the Holy Spirit on an everyday basis, but how is that possible in our daily walk? That's what we want to talk about today, how to be led by the Spirit of God.
In the university of God, however clever, however brilliant we may be, you can never have double promotion. You have to take each course, for each course serves a purpose.
Yes.
When we look at this Bible very well, you can see at the end of all the instructions of Paul, he always insists when pray, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us. The Lord be with your spirit. When you look at this gospel, it's all about righteousness. And the scripture says, not the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his
grace.
What's grace? Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 8, call him the Spirit of grace. When the scripture tells us to be in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, that's what we want to talk about today. Because Jesus has taught us what's essential and what is necessary. That we should worship God in spirit and in truth. We should pray in spirit and in truth. We should worship in spirit and in truth. In fact, whatever act of worship we do before God must be done in spirit and in truth. It must be in spirit to be accepted by God. It must be in truth when it's done by the power of the Holy Ghost of faith. So we realize that being a Christian is not an ordinary thing. To be born again is not an ordinary thing. To walk in the Spirit is not an ordinary thing. Everything Jesus says in this teaching winds up to one thing, the righteousness of God. That's why he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not our own, his righteousness, and everything shall be given to you. Now, Jesus said to me, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And said to everybody, I am the gate. That's what he said. I am the gate in the book of John chapter 10. And I am the good shepherd. After he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Take your cross and follow me. That's what this message is all about today. We are in this world, John chapter 17, but not a part of it. This means the way we speak, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we behave is one with a difference. What makes the difference? We are led by the Spirit of God to think right, to speak right, to act right, and to do what is right. So what is right then? Whatever we do that is in accordance to the will of God is right. That's righteousness. To do what is right in the sight of God is to do things according to his will and ways. And that is where we need the helper.
Exactly, because remember, we are followers of Jesus. And to be followers, it means we should actually follow his leading. But the question is, in this world, which is dominated by the prince of darkness, how can we actually follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? How can we follow the leading of the light? How can we follow the good shepherd? And that is what we want to talk about today, how to be led by the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. And that's something that many Christians, many believers struggle with on a daily basis, because we use the title Christian, we use the title believer, but what does a Christian mean? It means to be like Jesus. It means we're followers of Jesus. If we're followers of Jesus, then we should follow him. And how can we follow someone we can't see? Well, it has to be in spirit and truth. And so that is why we want to talk about how we follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our daily life today.
We need to realize one fundamental truth, that the Holy Spirit is the only means of growth in our Christian life. Remember, spiritual growth is a function of obedience to the
Word of God,
to the Word of the Holy Spirit. We grow naturally by time, right? Function of time. We grow intellectually by what we learn at school, at university, whatever. But when it comes to the things of the Spirit, we can only grow by obedience to the instruction of the Holy Spirit. That's why he is the only means of growth in our Christian life. That's why the scriptures say we must be in the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. Anytime we hear instruction from him and we obey, something will enter our heart to build our strength. Our strength. That's how we walk step by step, like a little child. Mm. Can a baby come from the womb and begin to walk and run? No. We have to, the tiny steps of faith, guided by Him, step by step, step by step. As we grow in the Spirit, we grow spiritually when we hear and obey the instruction from God. Now, we talk about the things of the Spirit. Everybody know, pray in the Spirit. And Ruth, talk in the Spirit. What does this really mean? Do we really understand what it means to be in the Spirit? The day we understand that this, our body, can never be in the Spirit, we'll begin to ask ourselves the right question. How can I be in the Spirit? This body is meant to work in the natural life, in the natural environment. You see me, I see you. And the scriptures say, we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, before we go to the, let's go to the our Bible scriptures of this message today, how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And we'll lay down the foundational series of this message, to be in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. Let's listen.
Galatians 5, from verse
16.
16. Okay, Galatians 5, 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Walk in the
Spirit.
This is the commandment. Walk in the Spirit, and what?
You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul is saying in this scripture that if you walk by the Spirit, there are many attitudes, many things we do that we will never will stop doing. We walk in righteousness, we speak in righteousness, we will not follow by this, the desire of the flesh, the fruit of the flesh. Let's continue, reading.
For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh.
What is Paul saying here?
And these are contrary to one another.
Good. Why are they contrary, Ruth? Why is the flesh contrary to the way of the Spirit? Because, remember what Jesus said, huh?
Because the flesh has in mind the things of the flesh, because at the end of this earthly life, the flesh will not follow where the Spirit goes. But the Spirit has in mind the things of eternity, because the Spirit
is... You mentioned eternity, right. Oh, yeah. The question is, don't forget this Bible is all about righteousness. And righteousness is all about doing what is right in the sight of God. Mm. Righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, is the character, the nature of God. Mm. And we shall be known by our fruit. What are they, the fruit of the Spirit? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control.
Yeah, it's there in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy,
yes,
peace,
thank
long-suffering,
you.
Kindness, mm-hmm. goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against mm-hmm. such there is no law.
There is no law. That's what the Bible says. Mm. And Jesus said, how do I know a true Christian? At the last day, all of us will appear before Jesus, judgment seat, Colossians 1:11. He will say, who is a Christian? Who is not a Christian? God will look at your heart. I will know them by their fruit. That's why we need to examine ourselves. Are we really in the truth of God?
So fruit by which we shall be known is the fruit of the Spirit in our heart, in our character.
Thank you. You have said the word.
Not how many works we've done to tick off a list. It's about the fruit of the Spirit in our heart.
Yes, this means only our character can testify to our confession of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Mm. Take note of that. Our character, only our character can testify to our faith in Christ Jesus, that we are like Jesus, we think like Jesus, we speak like Jesus, we follow His ways. Okay, why the flesh is contrary to the way of the Spirit? Because man looks at the outward appearance, we all know. Mm. But God looks at the heart. This means the truth is in the Spirit, not on the outside. The truth, we have two types of truth. We have facts on the outside, and we have truth. Hmm? So if the truth is hidden in the Spirit, I have to be in the Spirit to find that truth. Mm. Yes or no? That's why you have to be in the Spirit, so you can express your worship in truth. If you are in the Spirit, then the truth will be revealed to you from the Spirit. And then you can act on the truth on the outside. That's the basic work. Now, outside here, we have temptation. Everybody exposed to temptation because we want what is easy. what we see, what we touch. And the Bible says that is fact. Fact cannot stand. Truth, when Jesus came on earth, God came in bodily form. Everybody looked at him on the outside. And they couldn't see beyond his family line. They couldn't see beyond Mary, Joseph, whatever. They say, this boy grew up here in Nazareth. We know him. How can you say you are the son of God? They commonized Jesus by, as an ordinary human being by looking at his outward appearance. But God does not consider the outward. God considers the spirit, the inward. That's where the truth is. That's why David said in Psalm 51, verse 6, you want truth in the inward
inmost
part.
Inmost parts,
yeah.
I love that part of Psalm 51.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, this means whatever situation that presents to you in the outside, in the natural, don't be too quick to jump. You need to find out what is the truth from eternity's perspective, from God's point of view. That is where the issue is. We all want to do the will of God. He's our Father. But how do I know it's the will of God? The will of God is in your heart. The will of God is not something you find on the outside. It comes within you. That's the reason why we say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's the duty. How do I know I'm doing the will of God?
And that's the question we get asked so many times. In different ways, but it tends to go down to the same question. How do I know I'm doing the will of God? How can I follow the will of God?
It's all about to walk in the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will lead you according to the will of God, according to the ways of God. Take note of that. When the Spirit of God is leading you, he will lead you according to the will of God in the ways of the Lord, not in the ways of man. He will lead you to a place where the natural body will not like to go. There's not a way. But that's the way he wants for you.
It's true. It reminds me of something Prophet T.B. Joshua said about the Bible. He said, even though our flesh, our flesh rejects it, our spirit craves for it. So meaning that your spirit will actually crave for something that will sustain your spirit, but that will not be appealing to your flesh. And that's a continual struggle. That's why even Apostle Paul said, you know, I struggle with what I want to do. I don't do what I do. I don't want to do. It's an eternal struggle. So how do we
Romans
then?
Romans chapter 7.
Yes, Romans chapter 7.
But that struggle, every person on earth will face it. That's the battle of the ages. Why? Because God, in his wisdom, created me with a body of flesh. He knows what he's doing. I'm living in this earth. The natural here, I'm here. This body will face temptation whether I like it or not.
Exactly. So even though our flesh, our outward appearance may reject the things of God or the word of God, that's actually what our spirit craves for.
This is where the problem, you say reject it. Because there is a battle between the mind of man and the mind of God. And that's what this message is all about. There are two sorts of minds. My mind, where I express my own will, my thinking, my own mind, my own will, self-will. And there's what we call the mind of Christ, the mind of God. So in every situation, a true believer wants to know what is the mind of God in that situation. I want to know the mind of God. And the mind of God will give me what is hidden in the heart and mind of God. That is his will. How can this happen? It can only happen when the Holy Spirit can help me to reveal to me what is God's point of view in the matter. And when he leads me, he will lead me in the perfect timing and ways of God. It is important to understand this. Now, I want you to take two examples to help us practicalize this message. We are going to take the example of Simon Peter, right? In the book of Acts chapter 10. And we're going to take the example of Jesus at Gethsemane to understand what the leading of the Spirit can lead us to go where we naturally don't want to go. A child of a Christian must do what is right in the sight of God, even though it is contrary to what you naturally want to do. I repeat it. A Christian must do what is right in the sight of God, even though it is contrary to what you naturally want to do. That's the question.
Mm.
What I naturally want to do is convenient to my flesh. What the Spirit wants me to do may not be convenient at all.
But it's actually what your spirit craves for.
And that's what the will of God is.
And it will give you inner peace.
No. Let's go to the case of Peter. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. When Peter was in trance, I think we start by that one. Act 9 or 10. 10, I think it's 10 verse 1.
Acts 10 verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God.
Thank you. This man, when you look at the context of the Bible, at the early beginning of the church, this man was a foreigner.
A Gentile.
A Gentile, as you said. But the Gentile, his heart was seeking for what is right in the sight of God, even though he didn't know who God was really. That's what God wants, genuine willingness. The man was gentle, helping the poor, giving alms to the poor, praying and God-fearing. When he was praying, now God heard his prayer and located his prayer.
That's how James defines true religion.
Thank you. Now he wanted to help. God wanted to answer the man. When the answer, it depends on the type of prayer you ask God. The answer comes in a way only the Holy Spirit can bring that answer. What was the man looking for? What Jesus preached. Seek first the kingdom of God and what is right. He was looking for righteousness. And God saw his heart that this man is praying for something, my kingdom and righteousness, not for selfish reason. He's asking, I want to answer this person. God first sent an angel and the angel came to him. That was revelation, right? And he said, continue reading.
Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea.
And this is...
He will tell you what you must do.
Thank you. This is the problem now. God said, the answer to your prayer, what I want to do, I want to use a man called Simon Peter. And we all know in the tradition of their religion, a Jewish person will never enter into the house of a... How do you call it?
Gentile.
Because it's impurity. So, how can this man call Simon Peter, Simon by Jonah, who is a Jew by birth, how can this man now leave the law of Moses and go to the house of a Gentile? The man will never do. But that's the will of God. Peter will never go there by natural means of his flesh. But that's where the Spirit wants him to go.
So God could have answered Cornelius directly or come to him in a vision, but he decided to use Simon Peter.
God will never use an angel to preach the gospel. He uses human being. That's your value. God has chosen, even the angels don't know what you know in the beauty of the gospel. The Bible says it. God chose human being, a fragile person, an earthly person that you and I, to carry the glory of God in his life.
That means we don't know the blessing that we can be to someone else's life we just are connected to the Spirit of
Jesus.
God. If you allow yourself to be connected to the Spirit of God, God can use you to bless so many people.
Absolutely.
Your life, your words, your presence can be an answer to someone's prayer. So stop thinking, what do I have to offer? And start connecting to the Spirit of God, and you will see how God will use you to bless those around you.
Didn't we say that you are the net of
Jesus,
God
yeah.
in the hand of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
God is saying, somebody suffering there, whom shall I send? I'm seeing a person suffering there in an apartment in Paris. Whom shall I send to this man? This person in Bulawayo, whom shall I send to him? This person in Glasgow, whom shall I send to him? God is looking for a contact point to use, and you are the net. And you are thinking that you are nothing, whereas you are the one God wants to send there. God does things different from the way of the flesh. Now, God is in trouble now. God never had a problem with Cornelius, right? But God is going to have a problem with Simon Peter, a big one. How can I change the mindset of this person, Simon Peter, so he can accept to obey me and go to where I want him to go? That's what we call to be in the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit. So the only way God can do is to take Simon from the natural to the Spirit. God has to take Simon Peter into the Spirit. How? When the Holy Spirit come upon you, anointing come, he would do give you trance, vision and revelation, and you enter the Spirit. Let's continue reading. Mm-hmm. Let's see how God will take Simon to the Spirit.
And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. And when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it...
One second. God took him in a trance, in the Spirit. It's not our body that entered the Spirit, but our spirit. We have a spirit.
When God, his natural body was hungry.
When God put the fire of revelation to your spirit, you begin to have vision and dreams of God. Mm. Peter was in the Spirit in trance. And when he was in the Spirit, he saw vision. That's revelation. You must be in spirit to see revelation. And that revelation will reveal the word of God. That's the meaning of revelation. Mm. Sometimes we say revelation, revelation. Revelation is to reveal to you the will of God. The way of God, what he wants you to do, his plan and purpose. So God took him in the Spirit and revealed his will to him. Let's read. Continue reading.
In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air.
Thank you. God speaks in dream and vision, but we need to understand that the language of God sometimes is coded. Sometimes what we see in the dream has a meaning. We need to have revelation, but we need to understand the meaning of that dream, the meaning of the revelation. Okay, continue reading.
And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean."
This is the battle. Now, Peter is wrestling with God. His mind is wrestling against the mind of the Spirit. That's the two ways. There's the battle between the mind of God and the mind of Peter. Mm. The mind of God says, "I want you to go to the house of Cornelius because I want to save this person." But the mind of Peter, which was not renewed at that moment, couldn't understand the meaning of the dream and say, "God, no!" This means the first ingredient of walking the Spirit is not just to have a revelation, but you must understand what the revelation means. To understand, to know the will of God, you must know the will of God and understand his will in wisdom. That's the only way you can begin to obey. So Peter said, no, because he was resting. He didn't understand the meaning of that. He said, impure animals. You know, Jews are the law of Moses is very strict about food. Some animals, I'd say, impure. Don't touch them. Don't eat them. If you eat them, you are impure. Now God used those same animals, which you say don't touch it, to show it to Peter. And go and eat. How do you expect him to say yes? Since the written law say don't eat it. He said, no, Lord, read it again, read.
But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common."
Oh my God. Listen, say it again. What God?
What God has cleansed, you must not call common.
So who am I, who are you to judge somebody?
This shows that God has the final say.
That is it. The person you say is bad can be good in the sight of God. Mm. The person say is impure, God can see as a pure person. The purity we are talking about is not on the outside, is in the heart of a person.
And only God can see the heart.
And God looks at the heart. Mm. He looked at the heart of Cornelius. And God wants to do something in his life. So God said to him, I am the God that sanctifies you. That's what he said. If God sanctifies something, you're going to say the person is not sanctified. If God make me pure, you're going to say I'm impure. It's God that makes me pure. I couldn't make myself pure. That righteousness is a gift from God. It's not from you. It's from God. Now, if God say, don't do this, it become impure for me. I will not do it. But God say, do it, I will do it. That's the leading of the Spirit. Meaning the will of God cannot be taken in the letter you read. The will of God comes when the Holy Ghost reveals to you what is opinion on the matter. So you can apply the word of God by listening to the instruction of the Holy Ghost in your heart. That's the word of faith they're talking about. Mm. If the Holy Ghost say, go this place, go, it's God leading you. It's God speaking. But Peter was still in the natural, fighting in the natural, thinking in the natural, and that's his problem. Continue reading.
This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius, this is verse 17, Acts 10, 17. The men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you.
Stop. That is the helper. This is because Jesus said, I will send you a helper. The Spirit of God, whom the world cannot receive. But you know him. He's with you. He will be with you. When he comes, John 16, verse 12, 13, he will lead you into the fullness of the truth. That truth is spiritual. It takes the Holy Ghost to see the truth by revelation truth. Now, Peter resisted three times the dream and rejected. Mean? He refused to obey. I can have revelation in my heart. I can have revelation of the will of God. But because I don't understand it, I refuse to obey. I sit in my place. That's my faith.
It's because he was pondering it deep within himself
that his
heart was open to what the Spirit said. But if he just had that dream and said, oh no, that's a nightmare. That's a bad dream. I'm not going to think about it anymore. Let me just move on. He wouldn't have been open to what the Holy Spirit was telling him and guiding him. So we have a role to play. It's not just all up to God.
Yes, this will help you. He was in the Spirit, right? This is a revelation. But the Bible said, don't lean on your own understanding and wisdom. That's the second work of Holy Spirit. After taking you to the Spirit, speaking to your heart and revealing something, he will help you to understand the will of God. That understanding is extremely important. Because we human beings, if we don't understand something, we will never do it. You can never ask me to accept something I do not understand. If I don't understand, I can't act on that thing. That's the mind of human beings. We say, it doesn't make sense for me. So I want to do it because I'm on my human senses. You say, Ruth, does it make sense for me to eat it? God said, no, I will not eat it because I take it to the letter. That's where Holy Ghost will give you something different. We call spiritual understanding. That's his work. While Peter was meditating, what is this? What is this? His heart was firing.
That's why God's wisdom often tends to contradict common sense.
But it's a reality.
It's a reality of God.
It's
a reality of God.
That's why when we are led by the Holy Ghost, we have to be humble like a baby. He may reveal something to you, but continue to pray like Simon Peter did till he show you what is the next step. If the dream is complicated, wait, he will explain to you the meaning of the dream, because the meaning is ruled by the timing and the ways of God. That's it. Now, the Holy Ghost came to his help. Listen, what did he say? Go ahead. Holy Ghost say what?
Arise.
Arise.
Therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing.
Don't
for
doubt.
I have sent them.
Oh, my God. When Peter heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, it was so clear. Immediately. What did he do? He obeyed.
And that's why we were talking about this earlier, weren't we? Any blessing sent by God into your life, it's there's no conditions attached, there's no strings attached, is blessing. So is it a person God has sent? Is it a position God has sent? Is it a blessing God has sent to your life? If it comes sent to you by God, by the Holy Spirit, it's a blessing to your life. And that is what we need to understand. It's not for us to pursue those things. We pursue God, and God sends the blessing to our life. And it's much, much better for the blessings to come from God.
So you can read, go and read it at home completely. You can see Peter heard, and what happened? He obeyed and went to the house of Cornelius. When he went, he prayed, and all the household was saved and received the blessing of God. What happened to Peter? Something happened. His mind was renewed when the Holy Spirit began to speak to him, to take him to a place of understanding. Because he understood, his mind submit to the will of God. And then, only then, real movement came. He moved his body to go to the house of Cornelius, and a miracle took place. You can see, Jesus faced a situation. He knew the time was coming where Jesus had to go to the cross to die for humankind, for all of us.
Mm.
And Jesus said to the disciple in Matthew 16:17, I am going to Jerusalem. They will kill me. In 3 days, I will rise from the dead. Mm. Chai.
Say no.
Peter jumped, said, what are you saying? God forbid, this will never happen to you. What he did, all of us will do. It's our body, our natural human mind and thinking will never accept death like that. Mm. Never, ever. Because he loved Jesus.
Mm.
Peter was absolutely in the natural. At that moment, he was looking at Jesus in a natural way.
Because he had in mind the things of man, not the things of God.
Absolutely.
And that is why Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. That is why we should be aware of people giving us advice from a
natural point of view.
Even if they're good intentioned people, even if they have good intentions, if they're led not by the Spirit of God, but by human wisdom and human understanding, we just have to beware of that and examine everything in the light of God's word. It's not everyone which has the best advice for you. It's not everyone that has the best solution for you. Who can know you better than the one who created you? Who can have the best outcome for you than the one who loves you and created you?
Make sure the people whom you trust are led by God every day.
Okay, write that down. Make sure those who you trust are led by God every single day.
Are led by the Holy Spirit. That's the key.
Mm.
When Jesus turned, he rebuked Peter, equate him to Satan. Get behind me, Satan. That's tough. If somebody calls you Satan, that's the end of the relationship.
Yeah, you probably can't get a worse insult than that.
You call me if you're in the flesh. What? I'm a Satan. You too. Oh, you fight. And that's the end of the relationship. But Peter was a spiritual person. Peter had something. Yeah. Humility was there. Jesus was there to fight him, to change his character, his perspective. That's why they call them disciples.
And if a few verses earlier, he was commended by Jesus because it was God who revealed to him who Jesus was, the Son of God. So this clearly goes to show that all of us, we can be led by the Holy Spirit in the same way we can be led by contrary spirit if we open the door to that in our hearts. So if we open the door to anger, bitterness, frustration, envy, jealousy, all of these fruits of the flesh, we're actually becoming an agent and an instrument for Satan.
No, you say that. It happened to everybody.
Yeah.
Well, you like it to know. Let me explain. Because you're the one that mentioned it. Thank you for saying this one. Because in verse 16, Jesus turned and said, who do people say I am? Matthew 16. They say, Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. Everybody was looking at Jesus in the natural. But who really know who Jesus is? So after listening to all the answers given, he turned to his disciples and said, whom do you say I am? Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Mm. He answered right. And Jesus said, hey, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood did not tell this, but my Father has revealed this thing to you. What happened at that moment? Peter was in the spirit, and the Holy Ghost revealed to him who Jesus was, and he spoke it out. And Jesus gave him praises and say, "You are Peter. Upon this rock of the revealing word of God, I will build my church." I mean, the church must be led by revelation. Who is the church? You. Every person born again must be in the spirit, led by the Holy Ghost. That's this message we are talking about. So why is it we are all like Simon Peter? 1 second he was in the spirit and received commands from Jesus. And another one, he was in the flesh and Jesus rebuked him. 1 second we are on the spirit, another one, we are in the flesh.
We're not consistent.
Not consistent. Today on, today off. That's why the Bible says, when you are in the spirit, you do what is right. When they are in the natural, you do what is wrong. So don't be in the spirit, but live in the spirit. What a big difference. Galatians chapter 5, 25. To avoid why sometimes we get it right and sometimes we get it wrong. That's the greatest temptation of the devil in our life today.
Galatians 5, 25.
Yes, or 24. Let's have 24. Yes, 24.
And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires.
Hallelujah.
If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Man, live in the Spirit. It is a lifestyle. God say, embrace God's kind of lifestyle of righteousness by living in the Spirit at all time. Live in the Spirit, not just be in the Spirit and going natural. At that time, Simon was getting into faith. He didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit at that time yet. Today, if you do right, tomorrow you do wrong. That's why I go to the Old Testament. When the Spirit of God come, they enter the Spirit and speak right. So when the Spirit goes, you make a mistake in the flesh.
The question is, how do we live in the Spirit?
That's what I'm coming
how
to.
How do we walk in the Spirit?
We are coming. That's the purpose of this message. So now we have to take an example. You can only be in the Spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's the starting point. You can never be in the Spirit without the Spirit of God.